good morning. We're flying just under the wire today. All right, let's stand and have a word of prayer, if you don't mind. Dear gracious Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, hoping that to hear from you, Lord, that, Father, I believe you put this thought on my heart a week ago, Lord, and I'm asking now that you would help me to step out of the way, that with your help, that you could express this thought to the people in the way that it was expressed to me, and that, Father, that they would gain something from it, they could be edified and grow and be encouraged, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. While y'all are standing, we'll go ahead and read. Okay. We're going to go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Y'all can be seated. So if I go ahead and get my point up, there it is. So I'll give you a little bit of background on this. Well, first I'm just going to read this quote. This is from Marriage and Divorce, and it says, "Remember, Adam was both masculine and feminine in the original creation, one, but then he was separated by a rib, notice, but a byproduct, and notice the only one of all God's creation, of every animal and everything, she was the only one designed this way. Every other female was in the original creation, every other female was in the original creation, but Eve was not in the original creation. See, that had to be made that way. We'll get to it after a while. Notice in this creation that she was not in the original, but a byproduct, and in this creation, now I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want to tell you the truth, and you just sit still, you're doing nice." Okay. Now, this quote, if we go back to that, do I have control over it? No? Okay. So, this quote has bothered so many people, okay? It bothered me for years, because what we do is we read the red part, right? Or we read the whole quote, and we get to the red part, and it says, "She's not in the original, but a byproduct," and that's all we hear, right? Because it seems unpleasant somehow that the woman is some byproduct, some secondary thing, some afterthought, that wasn't in the original creation, right? And this bugged me for a long time. And then one day, it would have either been very late in 2019 or sometime in 2020. I was working with Travis doing AC work, and I can tell you exactly where we were. We were on I-95 going north to Columbia, and we were listening to Marriage and Divorce in the truck, and I heard this quote, Brother Branham said it, and it was like a light bulb went off in my head, and I went, wow, this is beautiful. And I everybody gets hung up on this, it's not something to be upset about. It occurred to me, and it just popped in my head, and then you try to explain it to people, and it never really sticks. Like, you have a hard time explaining it to people the way it kind of occurred to you. So if I could hit that next slide. Let me finish on with my explanation a little bit, because I had always had a hard time explaining it to people, never really landed with people the way I was hoping to. The way, like, I could tell, like, I'd explain it, and it just never, everyone was like, okay, that's nice, but they never really get it the way I got it. And then last Sunday, Brother JD is doing his Sunday school, and he read that same quote, and it was like it hit me again, and this time I knew exactly how to explain it to people. Hopefully. So, this is my original explanation that never really stuck with people. I'm sure y'all can understand why. And I know it seems a lot more complicated. Basically, you just got to be able to see the colors. This is obviously actually pictures out of an organic chemistry textbook I had laying around the house. But the main thing is I just want you to see the colors, right? Because everything in the top left-hand corner, you see that's chemicals in a reaction, and then it goes to the right, the arrows, to the other side of the arrows. It's gone through the reaction. And it's a two-stage reaction, and then you go down to the bottom left and then across, okay? And the bottom right-hand corner is the finished total reaction, okay? Now, I put colors, and I highlighted everything with colors so you can see everything in the end that is marked products and byproducts was in the original mix. There is nothing in there that wasn't in there in the original, and there's nothing missing, right? Everything. So when Brother Branham calls Eve a byproduct, he's not calling her an afterthought, because when a chemist does a synthesis of a chemical, he knows what byproducts are going to come out of that, yeah. If he's worth his salt at all, right? Chemists who don't understand their byproducts blow themselves up. God knew what was going to happen. To say that Eve was that's not true. And by the way, when people hear the word byproduct, what we hear in our brain, that we hear the word byproduct, but what our brain tells us is waste product. Right, right. That's not the same thing, okay? I'll give you a really good example. Back in the late 1800s, whales were hunted to near extinction because the fat was rendered down to use for lighting and cooking, right? Well, the whales almost died. They didn't have any more whales, so they had to come up with something else. So some guys found this black goo coming out of the ground, and they figured out if you boil it, you can drain off a chemical called kerosene. And kerosene became the number one lighting chemical, like it's what was used in replacement for whale oil. Well, in the process of that, they had this other byproduct that they didn't know exactly what to do with, that was really, really volatile, and it burned way too hot, and you couldn't use it for lighting. And it was really had a lot of really nauseous fumes that came off of it. And a lot of times they just dumped it in the river, and that was called gasoline. Okay? And so in modern times, kerosene is an afterthought. Who uses kerosene? Basically nobody. But that byproduct, right? Gasoline, people fight wars over that stuff, right? So don't get hung up on the word byproduct, right? You could also use the term secondary product. That's also just as relative of a term in chemistry. It is another product that is inevitable with what's happening here. It is part of the original creation. It's not an afterthought. Amen. And so that was kind of the original take on this. Now, if I could jump back to that first slide. The part that hit me last week that I never quite, and I knew this, I didn't know how to say it just right, is the part in blue, right? It says, and notice, the only one of all God's creation of every animal and everything else, she was the only one designed this way. Every other female was in the original creation. Every other female was in the original creation, but Eve was not in the original creation. She had to be made that way. We'll get to it after a while. Okay. The fact that Eve is a byproduct is special. It's unique. It is required in order for her to be made in the image of God. Okay? If she's not a byproduct, she's not in the image of God. Okay? Because God said, let us make man in our image. Male and female created he them, right? She was special, and God did that on purpose, right? It was all part of the plan. Why did she have to be made to be part of Adam as a byproduct, as a rib, as part of Adam and extracted out of him? Because Adam was made in the image of God, and their entire relationship was a mirror of God and the church. The church came out of God, and God, before the foundation of the world, the lamb was slain. And by the way, if the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, why was a lamb slain if there was nothing to redeem? Right? If the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, the church had to be there in order to be redeemed. Okay? So now, Adam and Eve have to match that. That's their purpose. If they're in the image of God, then they have to mirror the lamb slain before the foundation of the world and the purchase of the blood. Right? So in order for that to happen, Adam has to literally be a photocopy of God in which he is formed alone and then his sweetheart manifests out of him. Okay? What the problem is, when people have a... It's so sad that the modern feminist, you know, I mean, it started 100 years ago, so it's not even that modern, over 100 years ago, that people have said, like, made this idea that, you know, of feminism and women's liberation and all this stuff, and on its face it sounds so nice and so lovely, but don't forget what it's doing is it's driving this wedge into the plan of God, which is that the woman comes out of the man, and if you... You know, people get hung up on this, oh, well, she was this afterthought, so now she has to listen to the man, and she has to be subservient to the man. Yeah, but it's a pattern of God in the church. So does the church tell God what to do? Does the church rule over God? Does the church take leadership in the relationship with God? Does God conform to the vision of the church? No, obviously not. And we don't complain about that. We don't say, oh, we're so oppressed, poor Christians, because we have to conform to the word of God. Us poor, put upon, enslaved Christians, you know. No, we do it. And so if a marriage is done correctly, then a man will love a woman the way Christ loves the church, and she will be able to submit to him as Christ, as the church submits to Christ. If... You know, so I lost my train of, where was I going with this? Anyways, so people get you know, they push out this thing, well, I don't want to just be a byproduct. Well, when people don't want to be a byproduct, what they don't, on its face, it sounds like a problem with headship. In reality, it's a problem with redemption. Because redemption speaks of origin. Right? What is the example that is always given of redemption, right? The man goes to the pawn shop. He gives the pawn shop owner something to hold of his. He comes back later with money and redeems it back from the pawn shop. He couldn't have redeemed it if it wasn't his in the first place. When Eve falls with the serpent, it is technically in Adam's power to just say, God, I'm through with her. Wipe her off the face of the earth and make me a new one. Okay? But he couldn't do it because she was part of him. Like, it's conceptually in your power to go hack your hand off with a meat cleaver and throw it in a wood chipper. No one's going to do that. You can't do it. That's repulsive to even think about. But any more than Adam could let this woman that he cared about be destroyed. She was his rib. She was part of him. He was willing to destroy himself. The Bible says that by one man that the world fell. One man. Adam was the one who sinned because he knew exactly what he was doing. And he did it knowing full well, I'm going to be destroyed for this. And I'm going to do it anyways. Because I would rather be wiped out and burn the Garden of Eden to the ground than watch that woman die. That's what being a byproduct means. If she wasn't part of him, then he could have just said, fine, get rid of her. If she just came out of the ground with Adam like all the other animals, if she would have been just like... When people say, well, women shouldn't be considered a byproduct, what they're saying is women should be considered like all the other animals. Can you advance forward for a little bit? Go advance forward two. One rooster, many hens. Advance, please. There's a one bull elk and a bunch of cows. Okay? One more time, please. There's a male lion and a bunch of lionesses. Those are all animals in which the females were in the original creation. And what does it produce? It produces, if you will advance one more, Isaiah 4:1, and in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread, we will wear our own apparel, and let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Wow. That is what it produces when you don't want to be considered a byproduct. Wow. Amen. It produces the modern, man, some of y'all older people are not going to understand this. Younger people, you are going to get this. The modern secular non-Christian dating market is a bunch of women chasing after 20% of a bunch of very handsome, wealthy dudes who do not see them as anything more than a sex object to be included into a harem. Okay? That's what the modern dating market is. And that's what Isaiah predicted. And that is a result of people... Right? Okay, then you get to be, congratulations, you get to be co-equal, you get to be just the same as the man, and you will get treated as such. If you don't want to be special, if you don't want to be the byproduct of a man, that means you don't want to be in the image of God, and you want to be just like all the other animals. It's, the byproduct is for your protection. It's because if she wasn't a byproduct, she would have been burnt with the serpent. She'd have been poof, gone. Right? It's because if she's his byproduct, she's part of his heart. He's willing to die for her. He's willing to do anything. He's willing to burn the whole world down for her. Look, Christ is willing to go to a condescend and put aside the comforts of heaven and descend to earth and take up a robe of flesh and be humiliated and live on the side of a road. He's willing to be homeless and put upon and destitute just so his grand finale could be tortured to death. Like maimed and beaten and tortured and publicly humiliated. Like the crucifixion was not just like, oh, we're going to nail you to a cross. No, it was like a whole process. They made a whole day of it. Like it was like a big to-do. Like they beat them and then they specifically engineered the cross to be like the most uncomfortable, awkward thing to carry that would cover you in splinters when you carried it. And then they made the convicted carry the means of their own demise. Like that was all part of the thing. And Christ knew all this going into it. And he's like, yep, that's where I'm going. I'm going to go do that. And then when he gets there and it's happening, you know, at any moment we talk about, oh, he could have just spoken and summoned a legion of angels to just wipe them all out. Or he could have just spoke himself to heaven. Yeah, that's true. I mean, if he was a vengeful man, he could have spoken a legion of angels to crucify everyone who was crucifying him. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Or better yet, he could have just been like, well, I know I have to go through with this, but I mean, I can at least speak myself some painkiller. Right? He could have at least deadened his own nerves if he wanted to. He had that power, and he said, nope, I'm going to feel every ounce of this. I'm going to feel every pain. I'm going to feel every ache. I'm going to, because it's necessary. It's required. And why was he doing it? Because he loved the people who were doing it to him. Don't forget that when they hung him up there, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't get it. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, he tells the Jews that it was Christ that you crucified. There were people in that crowd who said, crucify him. There were people in that crowd who called for Barabbas to be released. And they got the Holy Ghost. Christ died for them. And that's when Adam ran to Eve and said, I will die before I let her be destroyed. Don't forget that she was only going to be destroyed because she cheated on him. Like, I mean, talk about a man that is going to, you know, people, I think the reason why women are so afraid of this idea of being subservient to a man is because we've heard so many horror stories of women being, you know, conned and you know, get left after 10 years of marriage with 3 kids, destitute, as the, some snake in the grass slithers back into the weeds that he came from. You know, I mean, yeah, that's hideous. That's horrifying. I mean, the only solution is to make sure that the man that you're marrying is the kind of man who's not going to walk away, who would rather hack off his own hands before he loses you, before you're not in his life anymore. And the only way a man is ever going to live up to that is if he's living up to the standard of Christ. Right? The only way that a woman can genuinely be rest assured that the man that she is committing herself to is worth all of this, worth the risk, is that there's really only one man who's ever been worth it. Right? That's the reality. Christ is the only one who's ever actually lived up to the standard. And you might think, well, how is that going to work? Right? How can a woman have any assurance? Well, because before Christ left, he said, I'll be with you even in you. On the day of Pentecost, that same Christ who went to the cross, who was willing to sacrifice himself for a humanity that hated him, will dwell inside of a man. And then women can be rest assured that that man is not going to treat them any worse than Christ would treat them. That is the only option, right? That's how you can be rest assured that your marriage is going to be in the image of God. That's the only possible way. It doesn't work otherwise. Where was I at? I'll kind of wrap up with this. You know, the natural types, the spiritual. Did I put that quote in my advanced one? Yeah, there we go. That's probably hard to read. So it says, no, I don't see people here, but what's old enough to understand this, and I got a mixed congregation. This would be a doctor's talk, and I'm your brother. So listen, in the life, the first thing in a baby, when it's born, a natural birth, the first thing is water. Is that right? Blood, then spirit. It's got twitching of muscles, but it's not, till it's born has it life. But notice, I mean breathing life, for anybody who was confused on the topic of abortion. You know what I mean. Now look, so it is in the spiritual birth. And I'm just going to skip down for the sake of time. It says, notice, justification by faith, sanctification through the blood, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When a baby is born, water, blood, and spirit. When a baby's born, newborn baby in heaven, he comes through water, blood, and spirit. The natural types, the spiritual, everything on earth. That was my first Bible to watch nature. You get nature typed up with God, and you find out you got the same things. I underlined and bolded that. The natural types and spiritual, everything on earth. If a woman is kicking at the idea of, or just anybody, let's be real, is kicking at the idea of a woman is a byproduct, and that's rude. The natural types, the spiritual, if you cannot wrap your head around that, then that is 100% an indication of your spiritual relationship with God. If you cannot say amen to every word of God, you're going to have a problem, okay? Even when it says something that doesn't really fit your taste, okay? So you can see this. Brother Branham talks about the airplanes and you know, advancing from horse and buggy, airplane, you know, automobile, airplane, rocket ship, okay? Isn't it odd? That in the era of the feminist movement is when the denominational church, typed as a woman, would supersede the word of God and declare her word above God. isn't it odd that when in the natural world, when women start declaring themselves, refusing to be seen as, you know, submissive to a man, that the church world would, that is the era in which the word would be crucified afresh. Isn't that interesting? And so if you think that we as Christians are just going to have a modernistic interpretation of what marriage is, if we think that we're going to have a modern pattern our marriages and our homes after something other than the word of God, and then expect that our relationship with God will remain intact, I'm sorry, but the natural types the spiritual. And your natural affairs absolutely are an indication of your affairs with God. And you're gonna, the wheels are gonna come off of that thing. Anyways, I am grossly out of time. I better quit before I am in trouble. So let's stand and have a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak my heart to these people, and Lord, that maybe through the foolishness of this, that something would have been said that would encourage people and give people some sort of understanding that people wouldn't be, it wouldn't hurt so bad when they hear something they don't understand, Lord. Amen. That maybe some understanding could happen, that they could take hold of it and say amen to it, and that they would be able to understand it and see that, Lord, that you've never said anything that was intended to hurt people. So, Father, we thank you for this, and we invite you into our midst, into our service, Lord. Be with us through the remainder of our service in the worship and in the ministering of the word, Lord. Amen. Be with us, Father. Minister to our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.